Imagine that there is a young man who has been beat up by life. All kinds of abuse and terror. And he's desperate. He doesn't know if he can go on living. And in a last-ditch effort, he goes to a church. Just wanders in. And he hears the message that this church is fighting over which songs they can or cannot sing. And then they start discussing which translation they can use. And in the midst of his pain and desperation, looking for a place of healing, he has merely found a place of dissension. Wouldn't that be sad? Please bow with me. Almighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the blessings that we have in you. Lord, guide us. Lord, be with me that I'll speak from your word to your glory. I am a mere vessel, a weak, cracked vessel. That still amazes me, Lord, that you would display your glory in me and all of us. Thank you. May the truth of your word and your message shine through this morning. And may you be praised and may you be glorified, Almighty God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 9, verses 13 through 17. John chapter 9, verses 13 through 17. Jesus healed a man that was born blind. He made it very clear that this man nor his parents sinned. That instead of looking at who's to blame, we should look at opportunities to serve God. We should be looking for opportunities to shine the light of God. But this man was healed. He comes back. Try to imagine that you've known this guy and you know he's been born blind and all of a sudden he can see. Some of the people were saying, this is the guy that was blind. And some were saying, it just looks like him. And he says, no, I'm the guy. So verse 13. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day which Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied the clay to my eyes and I washed and I see. They bring the man to the Pharisees. I don't think they're being vindictive. I don't think they're bringing him to the Pharisees and say, let's let the Pharisees get him. I think they're just overwhelmed. I mean, something significant happened here, so they take him to the people they believed were the experts. The Pharisees are going to explain to them what this means. They're the experts. And it tells us now that this is the Sabbath. Some people have suggested, a lot of discussion about that. Why didn't he say that earlier? Maybe this is an interpolation, which means somebody added it later. No, John's a good storyteller. See, before this, nobody cared. The people didn't care that it was the Sabbath. This blind man didn't care that it was the Sabbath. Can you imagine? Jesus says, I'm going to heal you now. You're going to see. And he's like, oh no, it's the Sabbath. Don't do it now. He didn't care. Going to make some clay? Put it on my eyes. Go ahead. Whatever it takes, I want to see. But now they've taken him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, they care that it's the Sabbath. I mean, they had all kinds of rules about the Sabbath. They decided how far you could walk on the Sabbath before it became work. Now, here's the thing. God said, don't work. He made it very clear. You don't work your animals. You don't work your servants. You don't work the foreigner that lives among you. Because he knows as people, they would have said, well, Israelites can't work. But this guy, he's a Moabite. We can work him. And who cares what dumb animals do? But God said, no, nobody works. But as humans do, we wanted to fill in the blanks. They wanted to decide, what exactly does that mean, God? So they decided how far you could walk before it came work. Can you imagine? Man, how far have I gone today? Do I have to wait here until the sun sets? Because that's when the day changes. Do I have to stand right here, or I'm working if I take one more step? They said, let's say that you're working out in your barn, so you've got a lamp lit, and the day changes, so the night falls, and all of a sudden it's the Sabbath. So you want to take the lamp in with you to your house. You cannot do that. You can't carry it in through the door. But you can put it on the windowsill, then walk in and then grab it. If you carry it in, that's work. But if you put it on the windowsill and then go in and grab it, that's not work. Some even said you can't spit on the Sabbath. So you're outside and your mouth is full of saliva and you're going, man, I'd like to get rid of me of some saliva, but I can't spit. That's plowing. I better swallow that stuff. See, what God intended to be a day of rest and reflection. See, that's what the Sabbath was all about. Rest and reflection. Restoration. Reflecting on God and resting your body. They turned into a day of anxiety. Right? People had to worry about if they were actually crossing a line. They're working. Now, specifically in our case, they had a discussion, can you anoint eyes on the Sabbath? So you got somebody that's got irritating eyes and they itch and they burn every day but the Sabbath. One person argued, you can anoint your eyes on every day but the Sabbath. So on the Sabbath, you've got to go. Now, who in their right mind sits there and says, put a little stuff on your eyes, that's work? We're going to break God's commandment. We're going to work on the Sabbath. We anoint our eyes. Another rabbi said, oh, no, no, you can anoint your eyes on the Sabbath. These guys had a debate. And one of the rabbis, the one that said you can't anoint your eyes on the Sabbath, later in his life, he developed eye problems. So he came to the other rabbi and he says, you believe that I can anoint my eyes on the Sabbath, right? And the guy says, everybody else but you can. Because this is an actual debate that the Jewish people had about what to do on the Sabbath. Somewhere along the way, their traditions, because again, God did not give them all of these rules. They made them up. Somewhere along the way, their traditions kept them blind to what God was trying to do. So, they're asking him, how did you receive your sight? How did you gain your sight? I love the man's response because it's pretty shortened. He said, he applied clay, I washed, and I see. Now, I don't think this is a rhetorical device to, you know, shorten the story. I think the guy is so excited, Jesus spit on the ground and he made clay and he put it on my eyes. He said to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He's just so excited. He said, he anointed my eyes, I washed, and I see. Okay, once again, try to imagine that. You've never seen in your whole life. That color up in the sky, what is that? That's blue. I've heard people say the word blue, didn't know what it was. Can you imagine how excited this man was? And I think there may be a little bit of a lesson there for us. Sometimes I think we make the gospel too complicated. And we got to fill in all the blanks. Here's a simple story. God died on the cross. I believe it. I'm saved. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I know. If somebody says, well, you know, what does that mean? I'm going to talk to them about dying to themselves and being baptized in Christ. I'm going to talk about that. But we make the message so complicated. Somebody comes up to me and they say, I want to be baptized. We might have a little bit of a discussion, but man, I'm not going to make sure they understand everything there is to know about baptism. I still don't. See, we make it too complicated sometimes. He put stuff on my eyes.
I washed, and now I see.
And I don't think he said it like that. I don't think he said, you know what, yeah, I put some junk on my eyes, I washed it off, and now I can see now. I think he was probably pretty excited. I see! So, verse 16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. So some of the Pharisees were going, you know what? This guy's a Sabbath breaker. That had become pretty important to them because God does emphasize several times in their history that they are to keep the Sabbath, to make it holy. This guy's a Sabbath breaker. They might have argued about anointing eyes, but everybody agreed that you cannot mix on the Sabbath. He's a Sabbath breaker. He cannot be from God. And the others, well, let's pause right there and go back. Because of their traditions, because again, they're talking about things that they made up, not what God said. Because of their tradition, they cannot see God right in front of them. The others, they're like, would a sinner really be able to do this? See, the Jewish people believe that miracles, and again, John doesn't use the word miracles. He always uses the word signs. Because miracles were pointing to something. For the Jewish people, if somebody could do miracles, that pointed that they were from God. And yes, they understood. They knew that there were people who were faking it. A genuine miracle, that person's from God. A man was born blind, and now he can see. You just don't get much more genuine than that. So they're saying, man, we understand the Sabbath thing, but he opened this guy's eyes. Did you not get that part? Oh, they didn't get that part. They're blind. They're so wrapped up in their traditions that they cannot see. But the others, they're like, man, we can't see it. Man, they look at it from a little bit different angle. Have you noticed sometimes we've got to back up and look at it at a different angle? I hope you've realized that in life so far. And once you look at it at a different angle, there might be a different explanation, and that's where these people are. And by the way, their eyes are a little bit more opened. They go to the person, they're like, hey, he opened your eyes, what do you say about him? And I love this. He's a prophet. The first time, he said, a man, Jesus, did this. Now he's like, this guy, he's got to be a prophet. The prophets of old. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them could do miracles. Elisha both performed miracles. But probably primarily the Jewish people, they're thinking of Moses. Because they expected a prophet like Moses that God is going to rise up and deliver them. And that person is going to be able to do astounding miracles. I don't know if that's what this person believes. All I know is now, he used to be a man, now he's a prophet. It's a progression of faith. Jesus opened his physical eyes, and his spiritual eyes are slowly opening. And isn't that amazing to think about? But here's the thing. I wonder sometimes if we aren't a little bit blinded by our traditions. Can we talk? I don't want to offend anybody. And I don't want to make anybody feel embarrassed. But there are times when Bobby's praying and he's a little bit excited. And I think there are probably some who may be a little bit uncomfortable. And I think there may be some who are a little bit blinded by their traditions that they cannot see what God is doing.
Amen.
Hey, man, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says, hey, don't get excited about this stuff. You just calm yourself down! Somebody gets excited about stuff and people start saying amen. Man, that's not something to get uncomfortable about. That's something to rejoice about.
Amen.
We need to not be blinded by our traditions because that is just tradition. Yeah, I grew up in a church and you didn't clap your hands and you didn't say amen unless it was at the end of a prayer. I know that sometimes that can feel uncomfortable. I am so excited. You know, the church that I grew up with, it's changed now, but the church I grew up with, and somebody got baptized and people started clapping, they would have escorted them out of the building. We don't praise men here. Man, I'm just excited somebody gave their life to God. Praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes our traditions blind us to what God's doing all around us. And you know, we can all probably think of examples or fill in the blanks. You know, I've read some articles about, you know, there are some churches that have turned the Lord's Supper into an actual supper. And those articles are all like, oh man, these people are going straight to hell. I'm like, whoa, back up! In the early church, it was a supper. It was a meal. It was a meal that they laughed and they talked and they enjoyed Christ together and they celebrated. It is merely tradition that we take a little bitty piece of cracker and a tiny little cup. Now, I'm not saying we're sinning because we're doing that. Because I think the glory of God can work through our mistakes. But you see what I'm saying? Our tradition has become something contrary to what they originally did. And we make it so... We're so focused in on how you can do the Lord's Supper, we miss the glory of God in the supper. I shared with you before that there was this church I was at in Montana, and this young man was asked to pray at the Lord's Supper, and he was a new Christian. And he said his prayer, and God bless him, he forgot to say, God bless the bread. The person that was leading the Lord's Supper said, excuse me, let's pray again. That young man never said a prayer in church again. Do you think because of tradition, the glory of God may have been missed somehow? Now, please don't. We stand for truth. Yes, I agree. We stand up for truth. I celebrated the Lord's Supper twice today. If I mentioned that in some groups, they would be escorting me out. But how can I go and worship with guys in prison, and they've got the Lord's Supper ready, and I say, "Hey, don't include me in this." You know what that would be communicating? You guys are not my brothers. I'm not going to sit around the Lord's table with you. And then when I get here, I'm not going to sit down and say, you know what, I already did the Lord's Supper, so I'm not going to commune with my brothers and sisters here. Does it say anywhere in the Bible that you can only observe the Lord's Supper once a day? I don't think so. I'm not aware of that verse. Man, I kind of believe that we probably should be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper all the time. I had a friend that told me that when he was working with youth, he would tell them, you know, when you go out on your date, you sit down at that restaurant, you grab that dinner roll, you think about Jesus. Now, I'll be honest with you, there is a part of me, the tradition part of me, that went, poof.
It's not Sunday.
Unless their day happened to be on Sunday. But I thought about it, and I realized, what better way to keep young people focused on Christ than to observe the Lord's Supper on their date? Amen. And by the way, when the early church first started, they did the Lord's Supper every day. That's pretty clear. So that our tradition is you can only do it on Sunday. Our tradition is you can only do a little bit of crackery. Our tradition is you can only do it once in a day. That's just tradition. Let's not miss what God is doing and the glory of God because we're so focused in on the traditions. Let's not be Pharisaical. Because they were so wrapped up in their rules of the Sabbath, they missed Jesus Christ Himself. And isn't that sad? And as this story progresses, we're going to see that this man, whom they consider to be a sinner, the blind man, his eyes are going to be open and open and open until he accepts Jesus as the Messiah. And the Pharisees are going to hold on to their traditions and never see it. Who are the blind people in the story? Not the one born blind. The Pharisees. I believe God does amazing things. I want to be open. I want to see those amazing things. So next week, we are going to do a dedication for a baby that was born in this congregation. Oh, that's not what we do here. Have you ever heard that one, by the way? The Spirit has been quenched by that statement more often than any other, I think. All we're going to do is we're going to say, there's been a baby that's been born in this congregation, and we want that baby to be dedicated to God, and we want to say a prayer and let the parents know that we are here to help them. It takes a village, brothers and sisters. And that's what that dedication ceremony is going to be all about. That we're going to step in alongside them and we're going to help them with their baby as much as they allow. We're not going to be intrusive. We're not going to take over. But we're going to be there as much as they will allow. And I probably should stop saying stuff because I'll say it all again next week. But you know, are we going to miss out on what God's possibly doing because it's not our tradition? No. Let's see what God can do. Let's open our eyes. And if there's something in the Bible that says don't do that, then don't do it. Agree. I agree with that. But so much of our fighting and so much of our stuff is not about what God said, it's about our traditions about what God said. Can we admit that? I want to see Jesus and I want to see the glory of God. I want our eyes to be wide open. If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers for any reason, I encourage you. We have a tradition. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. By the way, you're not going to be able to find that in the Bible anywhere. It's a tradition. Traditions aren't bad, by the way. Our tradition is we're going to sing a song and make an invitation that you can come forward. And if you need a prayer, we will pray with you. But I also want you to know, that can be a little bit threatening to walk in front of a whole group of people. If you just need prayer, let us know. If you want to know more about our God. And again, you're like, I don't want to walk in front of all those people just to say I want to know more about God. Okay, I get that. Again, that's just our tradition. Let us know. We are going to make an invitation because we're all gathered here and it's convenient. So we invite you. If you have a prayer request, if you want to know more about God who loves you so much, if you want to know more about what it means to allow Him to open your eyes so that you can see the glory of God, we would love to talk to you about that. Whatever you need, please come as together we stand and sing.
What can wash away?